Hello, hello. Just saying hello because I will eventually put this on Podbeam, just audio, if you'd like to listen in there. Sometimes I'll listen to a podcast and I don't have time to watch the video, so I'll just put, you know, the headphones in and I'll just get a lot done while I'm listening. So, hey guys, hello, hello. Get in here. Let's talk for a second. Hello, Jake. Welcome. You're the first to comment. All right. Molly, hello, hello. I see Facebook's in the house. I hope YouTube is in here. Are you guys on anyone on YouTube? Anybody? There we go. Hey. Hey, Deb on YouTube. Hello. Oh, happy Wednesday. Happy Wednesday to you too. Hey, guys. Okay. I don't have a ton of time, so I kind of wanted to just check in with you. Because there's a lot going on. I might be going live again with, you know, upcoming news because there's a lot going on. But I just wanted to say hi and quickly run through a few things. Okay, so the feds have raised interest rates a quarter, which I think, I mean, with all the banking instability taking place right now, that makes me a little nervous. I understand they're doing that to slow inflation so people stop buying. But I mean, if you guys, and this all, the whole SBV thing happened while I was taking a week off for spring break to hang out with my family. And so I'm following all that. But in simplest terms, I'm going to say this. I don't believe the good guys want the banks to succeed. Okay. So, especially small banks. And then I think that ideally, I mean, if you're somebody that likes control, we'll just talk vaguely here because I'm on Facebook, and YouTube. I'm also on Rumble. Hello, Rumble. I don't think that if you're a good guy, if you're not a good guy, okay. If you're not a good guy and you want to control people, taking over monetarily would be a smart option, right? Moving over to some sort of digital dollar that's controlled by the state. That's where I think we're heading. Scary, maybe a little bit, yes. But that's where I see a central bank digital currency happening. They'll blame it on, you know, the inflation, instability in the banks, you know, lending, all of that. And the goal is to knock out the small banks, and then you have the big banks under your control as the big, you know, global power. And everything goes digital because then you can track everybody, right? You can completely control the whole system. You can see what people are buying, where they're going, and you could shut off their money. Like if they're speaking out, you know, politically, and you don't like what they're saying, just you don't have access to your funds anymore. That's where I do see us heading. How long? I have no idea. But I feel like that's the goal. And when you look a lot of the people that want more of a global type world system order, they're in connection with a lot of the big banks. They're tied to them. So, and you start to think, okay, and that's where I think we're personally heading. Now, I could be wrong, and probably people think, oh, you're crazy. That's not going to happen. But that's kind of where I see this whole thing heading. And yeah, it does concern me. But, you know, we're born for such a time as this, right? Okay, so I see that people want to talk about all sorts of stuff right now. But that's my comment on the whole banking thing. I think we're going to see more instability. I don't think it's going to get more stable, especially if you're a bad guy and you want to control people. I don't think you're going to have it all just kind of even out and everything goes away and everything's fine. I just don't foresee that happening. And I know people are like, well, tell us something good, Rachel. Like, why are you saying such bad stuff? Like, that's scary. Oh, you know, I'm not scared. I really am not, because I know that I was born for this time. I'm supposed to be here for this moment in history, and I'm equipped. And God has us, right? I mean, if you have a faith, this is when you got to have faith, guys, like faith more than ever. So Also, huge major thing happening. I know the Trump indictment is taking all of the news, but it is extremely important to notice the alliance that is taking place between China and Russia. Okay, and Iran's kind of jumping in there too. They're basically saying, hey, and this is the role that America has always played. Like, we've always been like, hey, we're going to come in. We're going to like, hey, talk you off the cliff. Like when you watch Trump with Kim Jong-un in North Korea, like, hey, I know you've got nukes, but let's meet up. Let's talk about it. Like, we don't want you launching any nukes. Let's have a conversation. American world leaders were usually the ones that would kind of bring down the temperature. Unless you want to get into like the real deep stuff and talk about like, you know, the industrial war complex and how we have been involved in all that stuff. I'm not going to go there because that's a whole other issue that I don't want to address. But I do want to say, generally, we're not ones to be like, yeah, let's do this. And that's what we're seeing with Ukraine, right? I mean, we're seeing like full on, let's do this. Let's make it happen. And, you know, if you're a bad guy that wants to control the world, you need instability, and war would be a wonderful thing for all that to come into play. So, but China and Russia are like, hey, like, let's not have any more war. Like, they're trying to like kind of take over that parent kind of in the world type thing where it's like, guys, we need you guys to get along. Okay. You want the ball and you also want the ball. So we're going to find a way to share the ball. Like we're going to make some kind of, you know, treaty or something to get each of you guys to get along. Like that's what people want to see. People that have children that want a future and don't want nuclear war. They're like, can we figure out something here? So nukes don't go flying and we don't send our men and women over there to fight a war that just doesn't make any sense. I mean, can we do that? But that's not the role that the Biden administration is playing right now at all. They're all in. So, but China and Russia are like, hey, they're kind of trying to play the parent and they're trying to kind of emerge as world leaders. And America doesn't look like a world leader as much right now, especially when you see, you know, Xi Jinping and Putin meeting up to discuss like, you know, global, you know, happenings around the world. And you see Biden in the Oval Office the same day hanging out with the crew from Ted Lasso. It's a stark contrast between puppet, doesn't have a clue what's going on, and then people that are highly and heavily engaged in making some major world changes on the world stage right now. So that's a huge thing. And I think we don't need to take our eyes off that or be like, oh, it's no big deal. Yeah, it's a big deal. I think it's a major, major deal. And I also think personally that the Biden administration is extremely upset with China right now. Why would they be upset with China when they might be, you know, allegedly owned by China? Well, I think that they're disappointed that China is not aligning with them on the Ukraine issue, right? On the Ukraine war. I think that they're extremely disappointed that China's not all in on that. And so because of that, we're now seeing a distancing happening there between America and China. And you're starting to see China move over to align with Russia. It's all like a big deal. And it's amazing that it's happening. And you're also seeing the Saudis starting to talk with China and Russia. So, and I mean, it's all going to develop. We're going to watch it develop and we'll see what happens from that. Trump indictment. I know everyone's like, let's talk about that Trump indictment. Let's do it. Let's talk about it. Okay. So what a mess. What an absolute mess. But I feel like it was bound to happen, right? I mean, eventually they impeach and then they impeach again. And they, you know, it's an endless assault on Trump. And to think like at some point they're just going to give up. They're not. Like, this is all out. Go after him until you get him. And if if Bragg, the attorney general, what is him? The district attorney out of New York. What, I don't even know where he is exactly stationed. But if he doesn't bring charges, I think that Georgia will. And I think that they'll pile it on. I think like this is an all out stop Trump moment that we're witnessing right now. The grand jury was supposed to convene today. They were supposed to convene yesterday, and then that was just all rumors. And then it was today. And now I'm hearing tomorrow whether or not to bring charges. I personally, I see it going down this way. I see Bragg, like, I don't know why this would hurt him politically. Like, I see him being like, yeah, let's bring the charges. You know, he's funded by Soros. He's backed by this guy. This guy, I think Soros donated like close to $1 million to his campaign. The Dems would just love him. He'd be like rooted as a hero and they'd be cheering him on. And, you know, he could run for governor or then run for Senate. I mean, like, you know, if you have political aspirations and you're Bragg, you bring the charges, right? I don't see this hurting Trump or the base, because I feel like this will just fire up the base. I feel like they'll be like, oh my gosh, you're going after him again. I cannot believe you're doing this. And it'll cause people that have kind of been like, meh, like kind of rise up. Like, you are actually going to go after your political opponent. I mean, this is like CCP type stuff we're witnessing here. You don't like what your political opponent is saying, you just have them arrested and thrown in jail. You know, that's to the Democrats talking about democracy. I mean, that's like straight up communism, fascism. And it's on a charge, a misdemeanor charge, right? Like, supposedly using campaign finances to pay off to pay someone to be silent is what the charge is, for having an alleged affair with Stormy Daniels. Like, that's what they're going to try. They're trying to get him on. Whether they can prove that he used campaign finances, I have no idea. Cohen, his former attorney or whatever, one of his friends now is saying that Trump didn't even know about it. This just happened today. That they went and paid her without his knowledge. And so now he's coming forward and saying that. So it's a hot mess. Regardless, I think that they'll bring charges. And I also think that Georgia is possibly going to bring charges. I think it's just an all out, let's go. And I think this will fire up the base. I think the base will get like fired up. They'll be like, okay, you can't, you know, like, and it could put Trump over the edge in the primary. I see this hurting DeSantis, because DeSantis needs that some of that MAGA base to fall off and back him in the primary. And I feel like charges being brought against Trump would fire up the MAGA base and push Trump to win the primary. So then there's part of me that's thinking, like, I'm not the only one thinking this, right? Like, if you just stand back and look at it that way, who does this hurt? Does it hurt Trump against from winning the primary? No, because I mean, they'll say indicted former President Trump or twice impeached. Like, yeah, they'll have those taglines on there, and they'll say former president, you know, now indicted and twice impeached Trump. But that's not going to affect the MAGA base. That's not going to impact the primary vote. Okay, that could hurt the general. Those people in the middle that are like, I can't, he's got charges, I just can't. I don't think that hurts him in the primary. So then my mind starts thinking, because this is just what I'm always like my racing in my head. I'm thinking, well, then if it's going to hurt DeSantis, are they doing this to hurt DeSantis? Like, does anybody else think that? Like, are you trying to get Trump to be the one that wins the primary? So, I mean, it's something to think about. I would love to hear your thoughts on it, because when you step back and you ask, okay, who does this hurt? I don't see it hurting Trump in the primary. I just don't. I don't. So then I start thinking, does the left want Trump Do they want another Trump-Biden matchup? And people are like, well, they were not going to run Biden. But I'm like, they ran Fetterman, man. And you know, they got that guy through the finish line. And now, I mean, he's a mess. His health has completely collapsed. I think it's just to push Biden through the finish line. But I mean, can he sustain until then? And, you know, we don't have a pandemic, so he can't hide in his basement. You know, is he the pick? I don't know. There's a lot up in the air right now. So we'll see. We'll see. And then we have to chase those ballots, man. I mean, and I do think the Trump campaign's onto that. Like, we have to chase the ballots, like, especially if there's a lot of mail-in balloting. I mean, that's where so much of the fraud occurs. So there needs to be a game plan. Okay. So also, and I'm not going to take too much more time. Where am I at? 15, 16 minutes. Okay. Okay. Now, Trump DeSantis. Gosh, it's getting a little messy. It's getting a little messy, guys. DeSantis fired out at Trump recently on Piers Morgan. Why he went on Piers Morgan, I don't know, but he did. And he's now, you know, kind of throwing some punches. Trump is firing back. To be honest with you, I see nothing wrong with these two duking it out. Now people are like, you can't, you know, like what? I feel like, I know there's a lot of people that are like, DeSantis is a rhino. I mean, which is funny to me because he wasn't a rhino all the way through COVID. And now he's a rhino. Like, and yes, he does have some people that are establishment backing him. Okay, because the establishment is not going to back Trump because Trump and the establishment are at war with each other. Okay, I don't think that this makes DeSantis a horrible human being. I just don't. I know you want me to be like, oh no, you know, down with him. I'm not going to do that. I loved the way he ran the show with COVID. I do. I love how he handled the situation. I wish he would have probably never even shut down at all. But when you talk to Floridians, they absolutely love him. And people are moving to Florida. They're moving to Florida because they like the way the guy is governing the state. Okay. You can hate him now because he's firing at Trump. That's fine. That's fine. I'm not picking a player yet. Okay. I'm just not. I was all on Team Trump since 2015 when the man came down the escalator. I worked on his campaign in 2016 as a co-chair for Trump in Colorado. I have been in that fight. I've been in it. Trust me. Okay. And I'm not for him, but I'm not going to slander DeSantis because I like Trump. I'm just not going to do that. And I'm not going to trash talk Trump because I like DeSantis. I'm not going to do that. Okay. There's positives and negatives with both. Okay. I don't like that we locked down and we shut down the country. I don't like that we pushed the jab. I don't like that people were picked and never fired that were running the show with the pandemic that are bad people and they should have been fired and they weren't. I don't like some of the people that were surrounding Trump during his presidency, a lot of them. And I think he struggles being able to discern who's good and who's bad that surrounds him. That's an issue. That's a very big issue for somebody that's going to lead. They have to be very careful about who they surround themselves and who is advising them. And terrible advisors surrounded Trump. Terrible. Now, maybe he's changed. Maybe he's learned. Maybe he's like, no, I would never pick that guy. Whatever. Great. That's awesome. Good for him. DeSantis. A complete lack of knowledge on a lot of the geopolitical things happening and backed by establishment, called a rhino, you know, like all of those things. Like there's a lot of things there that are kind of like iffy with me, with him. So I'm like, I don't know. But anybody but the globalists and the communists and the leftists that want to completely change the landscape of our world. So I'm going to watch this play out and I'm not going to be, you know what? Can I tell you something? You can like both. You can hate both and you can like one and hate the other. I'm not advising hate because that's just not, that's not good. That hurts you. But I do, I do think this is going to heat up. I think it's going to get more fiery. And I do think, like, if you're DeSantis and you have an opportunity to run for president, you would take it. Like, if you see a window there and you see an opportunity, I see it as like, hey, I'm going to take this. We don't know where we're going to be 4 years from now. And there's totally different, kind of imaging when you are a former governor. Like, we're seeing that with Nikki Haley right now. She's polling at 3%. Not saying that she can't go up higher, but, you know, she's a former governor. It doesn't have the ring that governor has or former president has. Does DeSantis need a little bit more experience? Yes, of course. But Trump went into the office with no experience as running a state or being actually in politics at all. He was an outsider, which I absolutely loved about him, and that's why I was behind him. That's what I'm saying. That's where I'm standing. I'm not one or the other. I'm not gonna, and you know what? You could talk to me a week from now and I could be like, okay, I picked my player. And I'm all on board. Also, as we head into mid 2023 and 2024, I generally actually start working on some kind of pack, or I do work on a campaign, and I would totally disclose that to you if that happens with me. And I am very careful about who I work for and who I decide to work for and who I decide to message for and advise. So, but I would disclose that to you. Like, if I'm going to be working for someone, I'd be like, hey, I'm working for them and this is why I'm backing them and this is why I'm supporting them. The biggest thing to me is we have to win in 2024. Like, we have to win. And I know, well, there's fraud, you know, elections, are they trustworthy? All of, you know, we got to figure that out. And then we also have to play just as intensely as the left does. And where legal, get those ballots, as many as possible, where legal. But we have to win. Like, it is a pivotal, pivotal moment in history. If we don't win, not good. We have to win. And we have to win the middle. Okay. We have to win those people that are like, I don't know. Not a Biden fan, you know, not a big fan of the guy. I don't like them, my grocery bills or my gas prices or the fact that my home value is tanked or that my 401k has disappeared. I don't like him, but not sure about that guy. So whoever that guy is has to be someone that can win them over. And those are my thoughts. And we have to win them over. We have to landslide win them over. That's what I'm thinking. It's going to heat up. It's going to heat up all over because that's just where we are in history and in time. And if you are praying about it, that's what I'm feeling. But you know what? Like, when I was praying this morning, like, I was just reminded of Psalms 91. And I feel like if you are in any way like fearful where was I? Was it Psalms? I should have written it down. Might have been Psalms 37. I don't know. Now I don't know. Great. But Psalms 91, I always come back to because it calms you. Like, if you're freaking out or if you're nervous or if you're like, I don't know, like, it's constant promise of God. Like, if you abide in him, he will keep you safe. He will be with you. Though 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, it will not come near you. And it's just it's a wonderful prayer to pray over yourself and over your family in these times we're in, because it is volatile. And when you do talk to some people, they're like, well, you know, the pendulum swings, right? Like, it was crazy in the 70s and we were hiding under our desks and we were really scared that, you know, it's just crazy. And then it swings back and it swings back and it swings back and it swings back. And my hope is that it swings back, but if it doesn't swing back and we do continue to walk in, you know, in these times and it does get darker, it won't get darker if you have Jesus. Like, it really won't, because that's the peace. That's the peace that passes all understanding. Like, whether it's just nuts out there, if you have Jesus, like, it's like, okay, well, I'm good. 'Cause I know how the story ends. You know, it gets a little crazy, a little crazy. But excellent ending. So you don't have that fear. You tend not to fear things, especially if you're watching a movie. You tend not to have like a ton of fear if you know, the movie ends well, and it does. The story ends well. So, all right, you guys, God bless you. Thank you for watching. Please share this video. Also, I do Podbeam. That's where I will download this, and it's just audio. So sometimes you don't have time to like watch the video. You're like, I just want to listen and get work done. I was saying that at the top of this. So tune in there. You can subscribe there. And yeah, that's it. That's all I got for now. Sure, there will be more shortly, I'm sure. All right, you guys, we'll talk soon. Thanks for tuning in. Bye, guys.